The Rookies starts now.
Good Sunday morning. We are The Rookies here on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. You are listening on 94.7 FM, 1660 AM, 103.7 HD3. Also, follow The Rookies and follow Fox Sports Radio Charlotte on Twitter at Fox Sports CLT. Also, tune in to the Fox Sports Radio Charlotte app on both Android and iPhone devices, Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. And online, catch everything you're missing with Fox Sports Radio Charlotte at FoxSportsRadioCharlotte.com. My name's Mackie G, and to my right, we have Connor Sherman. And we have an exciting show. We talked some hockey yesterday. We're going to talk some Metropolitan Division today. The Panthers, of course, are currently playing in London. They are currently up 3-0 after Joey Sly made a 49-yard field goal. We will also be talking some MLB postseason, as we've had some great postseason games yesterday for both Connor and myself. And then at the end of the show, it's all National Football League. Connor, how are you doing this morning?
Why aren't we on HD 1 and 2?
What do you mean?
We're on HD3, but are we not on HD 1 and 2?
I'm not going to lie. I don't
whatever
know.
Whatever happened to HD 1 and 2?
I don't know anything about HD radio. I will not lie. I work in radio, but I just don't know. I don't know what HD radio is. That's not Sirius XM or anything, is it?
No, it's not.
It's just HD radio.
It's just HD radio, high definition.
Oh, well. I don't know.
We're not on 1 or 2, I guess, but we're on HD3.
I guess we're just good for that third tier. it's an early morning. It's early Sunday. Well, early for me. It's 10 o'clock. Some people probably just heard me say that, and it's like, you are worthless.
I'm trying to piece it together. I can't seem to put it together.
Dude, driving in today, because I live an hour away.
Thanks for that, Brandon.
Yeah, nobody understands why that plays twice. But driving in today, I live in Salisbury, so I drive an hour. It was pouring down rain. I feel like this is the first time it's rained here in a while.
I haven't seen rain in a while. Yep.
It's been pouring for a couple hours now, on and off. But then the last 30 minutes of my driving, have I ever told you that I want, like, my dream before I picked up a microphone and started announcing when I was 16 and I figured out I wanted to work in radio, my dream job was to be a meteorologist?
Why?
I have no idea. I used to be terrified of storms, so I would sit inside and watch the Weather Channel nonstop, see all these hurricanes popping up. You know, Mom, we got to board the windows. There's a hurricane hitting the Gulf of Mexico. It might come up here. I was like 10, 11 years old. And then now I'm just living the dream on here. And I'm
get paid to make a guess. It could rain today. It could not rain today. Step outside and find out for yourself.
Any job where I don't have to be right all the time is a perfect job for me. We're going to be keeping up with the Panther game as the show goes on, but of course we're going to talk some hockey real quick because we're trying to bring some hockey news down to Charlotte. So we're going to start off the show with a hockey segment to where we're focusing on the Metropolitan Division, which is the division that the Carolina Hurricanes are in. And according to Connor, is the best division in hockey.
I'd say arguably.
Arguably?
Arguably the best division
in hockey. Why do you think it's the best division in hockey?
Because all of the star power in this division is disgusting. It's awesome. It's really good. It's great. In fact, there was a Metropolitan Division showdown last night in Raleigh. The Hurricanes took on the Columbus Blue Jackets, but the Blue Jackets were able to get ahead of Carolina to deliver them their first loss of the season. That's kind of upsetting, don't you think?
I'm looking right now, and the Blue Jackets have a total of 4 points on the season. And they scored three.
Columbus isn't very good.
They have 4 points on the season, three of those coming last night against the Carolina Hurricanes, who, if you didn't know, started out 5-0-0, which is their best start in franchise history.
We were talking about Ryan Dzingel yesterday. Mm-hmm. He left this team along with Nashville's new number two center and Florida's new starting goalie, and this team is in shreds now. This team does not know what to
do. Those guys that you just named left Columbus?
All the star power in Columbus left Columbus, and they're no longer a threat in the league.
They might be a threat to the Hurricanes, considering that they just beat them. Do you think that was a fluke?
I mean, you can't win them all, right? You can't go 82-0-0.
You should, but
I mean, it would be great if they did, but unfortunately, that's not how it works, and Columbus was just able to get the best of Carolina last night.
And right now, second, Carolina Hurricanes do lead the Metropolitan Division And then you have the Washington Capitals, who the Hurricanes beat in the first round of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs last year in seven games. Washington Capitals, do you see them being another powerhouse in the NHL? You know, they have Ovechkin, which, if you're not a hockey guy like me, everybody knows Ovechkin, if you know literally anything about hockey. So what do you think about them?
Well, Washington's going to be another really good team this year as well. I actually have them winning the Metropolitan Division again this year. I have Carolina coming in second and Pittsburgh coming in third. Washington, they just always seem to find a way to win. And it's so hard when you have literally the best goal scorer of all time. Alex Ovechkin may be the best pure goal scorer this league has ever seen. What this guy does from the faceoff circle, on the power play, off the power play, you know, wherever he's got to be, this guy can put up points. So it's always good to have him in your lineup. You know, he has Nicklas Backstrom as the center. You have TJ Oshie on your second line as well. You know, Evgeny Kuznetsov, Braden Holtby is your starting goalie. There's a lot to look forward to. You have Dmitry Orlov. You have John Carlson, who they just re-signed. So Washington is going to look real good this year. Again, they will play tomorrow night versus Colorado, which is also going to be a very good game to watch.
And right now the Capitals are 3-1-2, and they have no wins at home. All their wins have come on the road, which I find a little interesting. Below the Hurricanes and Capitals, we have the two Pennsylvania teams. That's Pittsburgh Penguins and the Philadelphia Flyers. If I'm not mistaken, you are a Penguins fan?
I live for Pittsburgh hockey.
You live for Pittsburgh hockey.
I live for Pittsburgh hockey.
How is the scene of hockey in Pittsburgh? Do you try to go to many games if you're back at home?
It's awesome. It really is. It's great. And they all revolve around Sidney Crosby. That's not really how it works.
I know you.
That's how I work. It's a really good hockey town. Right not too far from where the Penguins play, you have Heinz Field where the Steelers play, and right across the street is PNC Park where the Pirates play. So it's a really beautiful city. It's a really, really fun place to watch a hockey game because they get into it.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. What about the Flyers? How do you think the Flyers are doing? Because they've been on the up and coming for a while, but I remember the last couple of years they've been making some big playoff pushes. Do you see them as a playoff threat?
I mean, they make playoff pushes towards the end of the season. They usually don't get there. Philadelphia, to me, is again, not good enough to reach the playoffs. They have a really good goalie in Carter Hart. They have a really good number one center in Kevin Hayes now. Claude Giroux still up there. You know, it's always good to have Claude Giroux in your lineup. Jakub Voracek. I'm not sold on the Philadelphia Flyers. I never have been. It's not because I am a Penguins fan. It's just because I don't think that team is good enough to make it anywhere in the National Hockey League, quite frankly. Following them is the New York Rangers. Kaapo Kakko got his first career goal last night.
What's his name?
Kaapo Kakko.
Kaapo Kakko. I like it.
Number two overall pick in the draft this year.
All right.
Scored his first NHL goal last night against the Edmonton Oilers. That's a pretty big deal. Although I don't think they'll be a threat this season. So New York out of it, Columbus out of it. And then to end it, the Islanders. I'm not sold on the Islanders this year. They made a really big push last year, swept the Penguins in the first round of the playoffs, got swept by the Hurricanes in the second round. And then my biggest surprise right now in the Metropolitan Division is the New Jersey Devils in last place right now.
Yeah, they don't have a win right now.
They don't have a win. They're 0-3-2 in five games, including a loss last night to the Boston Bruins. And I just don't get it. I guess the talent is there. The chemistry is not. They're really not piecing it together. What they need is a goaltender. The goalie is the biggest problem right now in New Jersey. They have Corey Schneider, who can't seem to stay healthy, and even when he stays healthy, he's not solid enough, and he's not good enough to win. And then they have a 22-year-old Mackenzie Blackwood, who's still real young, but could be the future, just not right now. It would need to fully develop. You know, he should be in the AHL right now developing so he could come in, because the prime age for a goaltender in the NHL, they usually come in around 25 years old, 24, 25 years old. So this kid's in the National Hockey League a little bit early. Hopefully he can develop and he'll develop well, because the New Jersey Devils are dying for a goaltender right now. They just got a bunch of new talent. They drafted the first overall pick in Jack Hughes. He's still held without a point. They have Taylor Hall. Wayne Simmonds is on the team. They just picked up P.K. Subban in a trade with the Nashville Predators in the offseason. The New Jersey Devils and Nikita Gusev from the Vegas Golden Knights. The New Jersey is a very good team. They just have to piece it together. They lead in a lot of games and blow a lot of late leads, and that is their problem.
Now, help me understand, how do ties come into play when it comes to seedings and when it comes to rankings within the division? Is it, so say someone has a better, they have the same, like, how important are ties in hockey?
There aren't any ties in hockey. What do you mean?
Then what's the now I'm just going to sound stupid now, but like, what's the third number in the record?
That's for overtime.
Overtime.
So
okay.
That's an overtime loss. If you send a game to overtime, you get a point. So hockey works off the point system. If you get a win, you get 2 points. If you lose in overtime, you get a point.
Okay.
So
I always thought it was just a regular tie since it was the three numbers in the record.
No. If you win in overtime, it just goes to the win category. But if you lose in overtime, it just goes to the OT category.
Got you.
So, like, the Devils blew a lead the other day against the Edmonton Oilers, and then they blew a lead in their first game against the Winnipeg Jets.
Mm-hmm.
So they're 0-3-2 because they lost 3 games in regulation and 2 games in overtime.
Got you. That makes way more sense now.
Yeah. So they only have 2 points. I mean, I know you're smart enough to.
I thought it was just regular.
They only have 2 points because they're in two. No. Yeah. There's no tie system, but the overtime losses matter. And it's crucial in the division because if you're playing a divisional opponent in the playoffs, or if you're looking for a certain playoff spot, you can edge them out in a tiebreaker. Like if you have more wins against the Hurricanes, and you are if you're the Penguins and you have more head-to-head wins against the Hurricanes and you're both fighting for second place, you both have 110 points,
mm-hmm.
then the Penguins would get it because they have more wins head-to-head.
Yeah. No, I'm falling completely. Yeah, but, like I said, I'm definitely going to try to start watching some more hockey. I try to watch the postseason every year. In any sport, I just want to watch the playoffs. But I'm trying to get back into hockey. I'm not even going to say get back into hockey. I was never really into it. But it's a growing sport. I agreed with you yesterday on the show. You said that hockey is probably the fastest growing sport in the United States. I would agree with that. I would also make a case that I think that Major League Soccer is coming up behind them. And I think soccer over here is going to start getting bigger as the years go on. But right now, you're listening to The Rookies on Fox Sports Radio. Charlotte, Connor, Sherman, Mackie G here with you. We're going to transfer over now to some baseball talk. And my Nationals won last night. Connor's Yankees absolutely dominated. Let's start off with the Yankees. It was a later game of the day yesterday. I remember you texted me sometime last night. And the final score was 7-0, I believe.
Oh, yeah. And it was carried by 22-year-old Gleyber Torres.
Which was somebody that you said may be the MVP of this series.
Oh, yeah. And actually, I was talking to my buddy yesterday. So before we went out last night, I had a couple of friends come over. And he's a Braves fan. And he was sitting here and he was telling me that the Yankees weren't good enough. And I said, well, they brought him to 7 in 2017. And he said, well, what's different about that team now than in 2017? And I told him, Gleyber Torres and DJ LeMahieu. And last night, Gleyber just put a hurting on the ball. You know, the man opened up the scoring, a solo shot. He had a double that brought in two. He had 5 RBIs yesterday. They had a gem from Masahiro Tanaka. You know, they got to Zach Greinke. And this is huge for the New York Yankees because in 2017 when they played the Astros, the home team won every game.
Yes. It was a 7-game series and the home team won every single time.
Every single game. The Yankees took game 1 in Houston. This is absolutely huge.
And that's kind of the same thing with the Nationals. They took both games in St. Louis. So now they are going back to D.C., the nation's capital, with so much momentum. And I saw yesterday in the Yankees-Astros game that Gleyber Torres had an amazing defensive play to where he threw somebody out when he was basically lying on his back.
This kid's really good at baseball. I mean, I know I've said that 100 times, but like this kid all around, this kid could hit the ball. You know, he's disciplined at the plate. He, in the future, can win a gold glove in the next couple of years. I mean, he's only 22. I'm not going to tell you he's the best defensive shortstop in baseball.
Some projections, some people are writing articles in, on some sports websites saying that he could be a future multiple MVP winner.
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
This kid's a leader on and off, you know, on and off the field at such a young age. He's such a difference maker for this team, and having him in that second base slot is a huge difference and a huge addition compared to what they had in 2017.
What did they have in 2017?
They didn't have an actual second baseman in 2017. They were rotating. They had somebody come in. They had a little bit of Tyler Wade. You know, they just had somebody fill in that position all season.
Just different rotation of players.
Well, they had a couple of guys, you know, fill in. And that was the year before they brought Gleyber up, actually, because they had traded Starlin Castro away in the Giancarlo Stanton trade.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have a solid second baseman for the last 2 years.
Now, is Giancarlo Stanton, is he playing in the series?
Yeah.
Because I know he's been battling some injuries throughout the season. He was sent down. He was playing in AAA ball for a while. And I saw that they brought him up. I don't know if he was actually...
Stanton hit a home run last night off of Zach Greinke.
He did play. Okay.
I didn't catch
last night's game. I just watched the Nationals game.
No, yeah. Yeah, Stanton hit a home run last night in the sixth inning. So,
well,
yeah.
Because I think in the playoffs he's been going like 1-for-6 or something like that. He hasn't been doing too hot since he got brought back up, especially recently.
Well, and it's funny because the Yankees – so I think the Yankees are the best team in baseball. And it's because of the depth that they have, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Astros, the roster that the Astros have right now is really, really good. But the depth that the Yankees have, you know, every time somebody got hurt, somebody else stepped up and produced, and the Yankees still won over 100 games. So it's the depth in the organization for these guys to be able to step up and for these guys to produce like they are. It's incredible for the New York Yankees. And I know that right now it's based off the roster that you have on the NL or the ALCS. I know that's what it's based off. But I just think overall that the Yankees are a better team, and this is the lineup that they have now is the lineup that they should have had all season, and I think they only had a max 5 games of what this starting lineup was supposed to be, and LeMahieu and Judge and Torres and Encarnacion, Stanton, Gardner, Sanchez, Urshela, and Gregorius. I mean, just with people getting hurt all season, you know, Stanton was hurt probably 90% of the season. You know, Aaron Judge was hurt half the season.
And I'm sure it's weird, you know, being a minor league pitcher and then you just see Giancarlo Stanton walking up to the plate. I always think that's a weird thing to see when you have a monster MLB player like that go down to the minor leagues, to, you know, to rehab a little bit, get back into the groove while they're trying to come back from injury. And could you just imagine being a pitcher, you know, 24, 25 years old in the minor leagues, and you have to go against Giancarlo Stanton? That would be insane.
Well, so I have a friend and her brother plays for the Twins, and they just played the Yankees in this series. And every time he comes out, I'll text her and I'll be like, I hope he gets him out. Like, I mean, just I feel bad for the kid's ERA, you know, coming in to face the – I mean, he's a really good pitcher. Don't get me wrong. And he did really well in the division series against the Yankees. But just could you imagine at 23. At 23 years old, stepping onto the mound and up walks Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge.
That's what I'm saying. It's just it's crazy.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm putting it in a perspective because, you know, I know somebody that's actually like that.
I would not be able to do it, but that's why you have other people that are. This is the Rookies on Fox Sports Radio, Charlotte 94.7 FM, 1660 AM. Don't go anywhere. MLB postseason talk will continue when we come back. Also, Panthers up 10-0 at the start of the second quarter. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. You got Mackie and Connor sitting in with y'all. We are talking Yankees and Astros right now. Mackie, is there anything that you saw last night that impressed you from the Yankees-Astros game from either team, both teams, one team?
It was just the defense and the pitching to be able to just not let the Astros, who won the most games in baseball, score a run. That's, I mean, because like I said, I didn't watch it, but I was keeping up with it as the night went on. And, you know, 7-0. I wasn't – that's kind of – the surprise I was kind of like the way the Braves-Cardinals series ended. Maybe not as abrupt because the Braves – or the Cardinals scored 10 runs in the first inning, and that's how the game started out. So you're just like, my goodness, what is happening? But in terms of just the final score and seeing the updates as the nights went on and seeing that the – Yankees are just scoring and not giving up any runs. I was very surprised.
Yeah, Masahiro Tanaka really he pitched really well, and I hate to say it, but every time I watch the Yankees play the Astros, every time the Astros are up to bat, you know, I cringe a little bit. Like, it's hard to watch, only because this team is so good, and everybody in baseball has seen how good the bats in Houston are. So, it scares me a little bit every time. I do have faith in the starting pitching. Tonight they have James Paxton going against Justin Verlander, and that'll be for game two. That takes place at 8:08 p.m.
And who'd you say those pitchers were?
It's going to be James Paxton versus Justin Verlander. Justin Verlander, one of the best pitchers in baseball.
I always enjoyed watching Justin Verlander.
Going for the Cy Young. Yankees are going to have to face him in Houston. I'm not expecting New York to win this game. But if they can go back to New York with the series split, I'm a happy camper.
No, that's fine with that. Real quick before we move on to Cardinals and Nationals, what are you looking forward to now in these next maybe six games in the series? What do you think is going to happen? Do you think... it's going to be as easy. Do you think there's going to be another game to where it's that easy of a win for the Yankees throughout the rest of the series, or do you think?
Oh, absolutely not.
Do you think that was just it's out of the way now?
It's going to go seven games, and I don't think there's any question about it. Going tonight, nobody in Houston has ever faced James Paxton, so that's good for the Yankees. None of the batters. I mean, they have tape, they have video, they can watch, you know, and learn. But nobody ever, you know, nobody's got personal experience against James Paxton. So that's going to give the Yankees a lead. But the Astros also have Justin Verlander going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are five Yankees that have seen Verlander in the postseason. Gardner, Didi, Aaron Hicks, who's on the roster, Aaron Judge, and Gary Sanchez all have. So they should know what's coming. Aaron Judge has no hits and seven at-bats against them. That's also
against Verlander?
Yeah, that's something that we should put out. Gary Sanchez has one hit and seven. Aaron Hicks has one hit and six.
And then, this is on the season?
Yeah.
And Garrett Cole didn't pitch yesterday, did he?
No, Zach Greinke pitched yesterday.
Okay, then so I'm assuming Garrett Cole's probably going to pitch in game three?
Yep, against Luis Severino, which is... also,
that'll be a good matchup.
Another good pitching matchup.
Yeah, so you're going to go from Zach Greinke to Justin Verlander and to Garrett Cole.
That's what I meant. And luckily, actually, the Yankees were able to hop on Zach Greinke early.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think that they would be able to do that. I thought they would have to wait to get to the bullpen. So this is, you know, again, this is me repeating what I said yesterday. The Houston Astros starting pitching is going to be kryptonite for the Yankees.
Who do you think wins?
I think the Yankees are going to win the series.
Okay, but this game, you said it's going to go game seven. Do you think it's going to be split every single game, or do you think the Astros will be able to pull off one at home?
I mean, I've seen Justin Verlander pitch before, so I'm going to go ahead and say that Houston wins this game. Nothing against the Yankees. I just think that anytime you send Justin Verlander out, you have a really good chance at winning.
I agree with that. They have a great pitching rotation, especially their starting aces. This is The Rookies. Follow us on Twitter. Follow Fox Sports and The Rookies on Twitter and Instagram at Fox Sports CLT. You can listen to Fox Sports Radio Charlotte anywhere, anytime with the Fox Sports Radio Charlotte app, available for both iPhone and Android devices. Now let's transfer over to the NLCS, to where the Washington Nationals have a 2-0 lead on the St. Louis Cardinals, and that is a two-game lead, not the actual score to an individual game, a two-game lead, and they got both of their wins in St. Louis, so the Nationals are going back home to D.C. up two games. What are you seeing from this series, Connor, that you weren't expecting to see?
Max Scherzer is pretty good at baseball.
Max Scherzer is very good at baseball. And I was going to ask you, with the lineup, that who do you think has the better pitching?
Sorry to cut you off.
You're
but
good.
Just one thing. The St. Louis Cardinals used up all their hits in the playoffs in that 10-run first inning against the Atlanta Braves. They were no-hit through 7 2/3 on Friday night, and they were no-hit for, 6 2/3 on last night?
Yeah, well, Scherzer went into the seventh on a no-hitter, so it was a full six innings. Or
6 2/3.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Math, sorry. I'm a comm major. You know this. No, but Scherzer and Scherzer was locked down on the Cardinals last night. And same thing with Strasburg.
11 strikeouts, 2 walks.
It's insane. I'm very excited. Do you think, I was going to ask you this, Scherzer, Strasburg, Gerrit Cole, Justin Verlander, who's the better duo?
Gerrit Cole, Justin Verlander.
All right. What if we can see them match off or match up in the playoff or in the World Series? That will be insane. I would love to watch that pitching duel.
Yeah.
Right now, the Cardinals don't look like they have any bit of an offense, which is what you just said, and which is something that the Cardinals were thriving on with their bats. One thing is the Cardinals are saying that the ball is actually traveling less in the postseason. Have you seen that? Their data analytics team said in the postseason, the ball is traveling on average 4.5 feet fewer than what it did in the regular season, to where there was a record number of home runs.
I mean, the Yankees are still sending them over,
that's
so I don't see it.
No, I've always wondered how you figure that out. How do you say the ball is traveling less? There has to be something wrong with the ball, because that's basically what the manager and the Cardinals are saying right now. They're trying to put, like, they're not officially petitioning, but it's like they're trying to petition to be like, hey, ball is not going as far because we are not hitting the ball anymore. Do you think it's kind of like an excuse?
Hey, you just pitched one of the best pitchers in the league against us. We didn't hit the ball. We're going to file a claim that the ball's not traveling. That's what that sounds like.
That's exactly
to me.
What it sounds
That's
like.
That's what it sounds like to me. I mean, Anibal Sanchez no-hit them, and he was great, you know, his last outing as well. And then you have Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg. I mean, the pitching rotation for the Washington Nationals, like, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. And right now,
Patrick Corbin as well, you know, they have it going for them. Everything can work out in Washington. And it looks like they'll win Monday night, too, with Steven Strasburg coming out.
So what are you seeing from this series that you're liking?
The starting rotation for the Washington Nationals. I mean, the St. Louis Cardinals are a very good team, too, right? The St. Louis Cardinals, they have Paul Goldschmidt, they have Colton Wong, Marcelo Ozuna, you know, Matt Carpenter, Yadier Molina. And they started Adam Wainwright yesterday. You know, they have Andrew Miller. They're a good overall team. They're just having a hard time scoring runs against a really good pitching rotation. I mean, the Washington Nationals, they have Trey Turner, they have Adam Eaton, Anthony Rendon, Juan Soto, Howie Kendrick, who hit that grand slam against the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Like,
they'll go down as history for the Nationals.
The Nationals have a team that can put the ball in play, right?
Yes, they
and
do.
And they can play. They have players that can hit it out, and they have players with a ton of speed. So the Nationals overall have a good baseball team. You know, if they're not hitting the ball over, they can stretch singles into doubles. You know, always having a runner in scoring position is very important to scoring runs.
Mm-hmm. And that's huge, and especially with the Nationals in the postseason, they are very aggressive at base running too. You always see a lot of steals, especially with those first two batters in the lineup they have with Adam Eaton or Trey Turner and Adam Eaton. And you always see the Nationals be very aggressive on the base path throughout the season and in the postseason. I like how the Nationals are kind of just overcoming everyone's opinions on them before the season when they traded Bryce Harper. I am a Bryce Harper fan. I like him. But I'll admit, I didn't think the Nationals would be as good as they are right now without Bryce Harper. But now looking back, looking at previous years, looking at highlights and stuff, Bryce Harper had big moments, but I don't think he added that much to the Nationals on on a long-term spectrum.
Addition by subtraction.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you would have huge moments, like when I went to my first I'd talk about that spectrum to where you have Bryce Harper and then you have winning on the other side. And you would have that spectrum. It gets a little to the middle where Bryce Harper is hitting these huge home runs, hitting these walk-off home runs like they did with the first Nationals game I've been to. And then it just goes right back, and it never gets on the other side of the spectrum to the winning side. It never does that. Bryce Harper just brought in money. He brought in fans. He's a big name. But in terms of actually contributing to winning for the team, because I remember the last couple postseason series that the Nationals have been in previous years, Bryce Harper was just quiet. He never did really anything. I don't believe he – I've never seen him hit a home run in the playoffs. I know he has some, but I've never – in the games I've been watching the last couple of years, he hasn't.
Phillies didn't make the playoffs this year.
Exactly, and they're paying him $300 million. It's baseball is one of the most team sports, I believe, because you have like,
one player can't win it all.
Yeah, you definitely can. It's just like football, like basketball. You can have a superstar on a team that can carry you. I mean, look at LeBron James, look at Kawhi Leonard. But with baseball and football, you need to rely on your teammates and you need everybody to contribute. And Bryce Harper, I don't know if Bryce Harper is going to do that or live up to the contract. I like Bryce Harper; he's a good player, but $300 million. Over what, 10 something years? 10 or a little
10.
More? 10. Okay, good. One time I heard 13, the other time I heard 10, so I couldn't really remember.
I could be wrong then.
Because I know they were originally asking for a 10-year contract for $300 million, but they might have changed that. And right now,
it's 13 years, $330 million.
330? Okay, I didn't know that. For Bryce Harper, that's insane. And with the Nationals being up two games on the Cardinals, road teams that take a 2-0 series lead in a best-of-seven series are historically 23-3. So the odds of the Cardinals winning and coming back and winning the series are very, very low. Do you see it happening? Do you think they can? Or
no,
do you think
absolutely
the Cardinals
not.
Are done?
I mean, tomorrow night's going to be a really good game. It's going to be Jack Flaherty versus Steven Strasburg, and both of these guys throw gas.
Mm-hmm.
They throw gas. So it's going to be a real good game to watch. And that one should be a low-scoring game as well, you know, like the last two games have been. But I got to give the edge to the Washington Nationals. They're at home.
They are at home. And they show out to Nationals fans, especially in that postseason. I'm excited. Right now, knocking on wood, right now, the Nationals, based on how they played the last two games and that stat saying that road teams that take a 2-0 series lead in the best-of-seven series are 23-3, the Nationals may be looking at their first World Series appearance in franchise history. They may do it. And on the other side of the ball, you have the Houston Astros.
They can look all they want. I mean, both of these teams are going to have a hard time facing the American League champion.
Do you think both American League, both teams in the ALCS right now are better than any team in the NLCS?
I don't think there's a team better in the league than either of the two teams in the ALCS.
Really?
This should actually be the World Series. I'm not kidding. It's like...
It should actually be the World Series. Game one ended 7-0.
I get that. I do, but... I mean, the Houston Astros, we just talked about their starting rotation, right? We didn't talk about Jose Altuve. We didn't talk about Yuri Gurriel. We didn't talk about Carlos Correa or Alex Bregman, you know? That team is so good all around. Just like I told you with the Nationals, they have guys that can send them over. They have guys that can run the bases. You know, the Houston Astros, their bats, they use the whole field, right? If they see... an open, you know, if they see a hole in the field, their batters are good enough to place their hits to where it needs to be. Like, these guys are getting on base, and these guys are scoring runs. They are a really good team, and, you know, they may have been blanked by the Yankees yesterday, but I would not put them down for the series.
All right. Well, I'm excited to see. You got the two best teams in the American League facing off, rightfully so.
Two best teams in baseball.
All right. If the Dodgers were still here, would you be saying that?
Yes.
You would.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are some hard words. You listen to the rookies on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte, 94.7 FM, 1660 AM, Mackie G and Connor Sherman in the studio with you. Bernie will be back next week. He is enjoying some time with family on vacation. I believe he's in a cabin somewhere.
Miss you, buddy.
We miss Bernie very much. Bernie brings a nice presence into the studio. It's a gloomy day out there in Charlotte. We talked about it already. Panthers are currently playing in London. I was going to give an update, but I kind of don't want to look at the score anymore because I have it recording at home, and I kind of want to stay off Twitter, want to stay off Facebook, and just watch the Panther game as if I was watching it live. Should I give a score update?
Yeah, we're talking about sports. Let's talk
but
about
who,
the game
but,
a little
but
bit.
Who thinks if anybody else is watching or listening and they're trying to keep up or they're trying to watch the game as if it's live? Oh, 16-7. Okay, never mind. Panthers are up. 16-7. Last time I checked, it was 10-7. Christian McCaffrey does have a touchdown on the day. Joey Sly has a field goal. And, of course, Kyle Allen has a pass to Christian McCaffrey for a 25-yard touchdown a few moments ago. And
so
Joey
CMC
Sly
has
just
two?
Made it. He has two touchdowns, yes.
So, okay. This kid winning the MVP, like, it's going to happen this year or what?
There is an article on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte about CMC for MVP. Check it out. I think it's an easy bet right now. He's definitely the only running back that should be in the MVP conversation or should be top the MVP conversation.
You can say stuff
with maybe some of the quarterbacks in the league, but in terms of running backs, Christian McCaffrey is number one on the MVP list.
I'm going to go on a limb here and say he's the best player in the league right now.
By far, because the Panthers just use him.
Is there anybody else as good as McCaffrey right now?
In the league? On offense? Like, are you just talking about any player?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Sorry, I'm not fixing my mic.
Is there anybody dominating their position as well?
No.
As Christian McCaffrey is right now at running back for the Carolina
Panthers.
No, you hear
a lot of criticism for the Carolina Panthers for just giving the ball to Christian McCaffrey nonstop, but that's what you need to do.
If you have a
player like Christian McCaffrey, just give him the ball. No matter what happens, he is going to get you a yard. He is going to catch the ball. And one thing, I'm one of them. People say that the Panthers are just running him into the ground. He's the workhorse. He plays pretty much every snap of every game. And after he cramped up against Jacksonville, in a press conference, someone was asking him about the cramps in the fourth quarter. And Christian McCaffrey said, "I can't let that happen again. I must be better. I can't let my team down." It's like, dude, you're cramping. It's okay.
I mean, you're only getting 55 touches a game.
And because of those cramps in that game, he missed 9 snaps in the Jacksonville game, which is the most he missed all season. I just think it's crazy. He's just like, "I must be better." I was like, dude, it's okay if you need to take a breather and get over these cramps. But Kyle Allen, he's having a pretty good day so far. Not a 1,503 yards, 1 touchdown. McCaffrey, 7 carries, 18 yards, and 1 touchdown. DJ Moore, 4 receptions for 42 yards. I like getting DJ Moore involved in the game. I really enjoy watching DJ Moore. Young receiver for the Panthers, drafted 2 years ago. I think he's a great addition. I love how his specialty is yards after catch. I want him to keep trying to do that. It seems like he's fixed the problem with fumbling. He seems like he's holding on to the ball more. He gets yards after catch. He does not go down easily, which is an energy you want on the offense. Same thing with Christian McCaffrey. Through 2 games, Christian McCaffrey had 24 broken tackles. That's insane for someone that, quote-unquote, could not run in between the tackles.
Carolina's got more at half than they do with time left before half, with 7.5 minutes left. They have more points now than they did the whole Thursday night game against Tampa Bay.
Exactly, it's crazy. I think this game is going to be huge right now. The Panthers have a 78% chance to win this game based on the chain of events. I like how Joey Sly is hitting.
What do you think is so different about these two teams in week 6 than in week 2? Without Cam Newton being your answer.
I think how early it was in the season, still second week, they were both on a short week because it was Thursday night game. Weather was very bad that first. It was kind of just a little nasty to start the game as we were standing in line for security and like getting checked into the game. It was like drizzling, but as soon as we got to our seats with, 10 minutes remaining in the first quarter, we missed the first 5 minutes of the game, it just started pouring. And then you have the weather delay, which was 30 to 45 minutes. Then you come out and you got to warm back up. And it was kind of just your clock, your body just gets off rhythm. You just get off schedule because now you're playing a game and you just stop and you just go and sit in the locker room. And now you come back out, you got to warm back up. And also, and Cam Newton's not my answer, but of course, Cam Newton. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers also shut down Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
Tampa Bay was the only team to not allow Christian McCaffrey to reach 100 yards in scrimmage. And right now it seems like Kyle Allen is picking apart Tampa Bay just a little bit. And I think that's probably the biggest difference right now. And Jameis Winston already has two interceptions. So the defense is showing up. The defense is much different this week than they were in week two against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The defense has just been absolutely dominating the competition since week two. This is the Rookies on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back to talk a little more Panthers and some NFL. Connor Sherman, Mackie G, we're the Rookies. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Rookies right here on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte, 94.7 FM, 1660 AM, on the Fox Sports mobile app at Fox Sports Radio Charlotte, online at foxsportsradiocharlotte.com, and on Twitter and Instagram at Fox Sports CLT. Mackie G, Connor Sherman.
And HD3.
And HD3, 103.7
HD3. Not HD1 or 2, HD3.
We're only good enough for the third tier of HD channels, Connor. We discussed this.
Is it the last? Can we say saving the best for last? Is there an HD4? Is there an HD5?
I am just as ignorant with HD radio as I am with hockey. So that's pretty ignorant.
Brad, I need answers.
We'll call the engineering guru, Brad. We were just talking about some Panther, we were just having some Panther talk. Currently 5:37 left in the second quarter as they are playing over across the pond in London at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Right now, they're up 17-7, something that, if you're a Panther fan, it's good to see. It's a divisional matchup. This is a must-win division matchup since the Panthers dropped the first game of the season. Jameis Winston doing what he normally does, has two interceptions. Kyle Allen has a touchdown to Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey also has a touchdown on the ground. James Bradberry got a pick on the first play of the game when Jameis Winston targeted his best receiver, and that's Mike Evans. James Bradberry has always been locked down against Mike Evans, and I would even say the same against Michael Thomas and a lot of the star wide receivers that are in the NFC South. I think James Bradberry is an elite cornerback. I will say that. He is one of the best cornerbacks in the league. He's not obnoxious. You don't see him causing problems. So that's why you don't hear about him much. And as a cornerback, you do not want to hear about him much. You want to hear nothing about a cornerback because that means the wide receivers that he is guarding is not being targeted. But right now, 17-7, Panthers have a 10-point lead. It looks like that Tampa Bay is marching down the field. What do you think is going to happen in the second half? Do you think that Panthers will be able to hold off the lead? Right now, the Bucs marching down the field, they could score, make it a 3-point game. What needs to be done for the Panthers to obtain this or to hold this lead that they've already obtained?
I think they just need to keep doing what they're doing now. You know, keep putting the ball in the hands of Christian McCaffrey. The defense has been real solid. I think that if the defense keeps up what they're doing now, there's no excuse for Carolina to lose this game. You know, Kyle Allen, like you said, was doing real good. What was his completion rating so far?
9 of 15.
Not terrible. Not great.
He started out 1 for 5 with -3 yards. It was just a rough first two drives. But one thing I'm nervous about is usually when the Panthers get a lead, they just play more conservative aspect or more conservative football on the offensive side, which really annoys me as a fan. We've seen for years to where they'll be up. Last week against Jacksonville when they were up like 21-7, something like that, they just started playing conservative, just, you know, three and outs, runs up the middle, short passes that were incomplete, and it allowed Jacksonville to get back in the game.
Well, that's what they need to do. They need to keep the clock running. So, you know, running the ball with McCaffrey, you know, let the kid run. I mean, you know how many touches he gets, but short passes as well, you know, slot passes. Just get the ball and make sure the clock keeps ticking.
And
just sit on the lead.
And that's a hard thing against this team, though. The Bucs have one of the better run defenses in the league. So it's going to be hard to get the ball on the ground. That's why the Panthers struggled a lot. And then that, because that week two game is when Cam Newton, it wasn't just Cam Newton's issue. Cam Newton threw 54, 53 times in that game because the run game just wasn't there. And the Panthers are always a run first offense. Two-minute warning just approached. Let's move on from the Panthers. I'm going to go home and watch the game as I have it set on my DVR. Right now, the Rams will be taking on the 49ers in an NFC West showdown. Excuse me. And Todd Gurley has been ruled out. Do you think this plays a huge factor in this game today?
Did you just say two-minute warning? Oh, my computer was 5 minutes behind. That's why I said with 7.5 minutes left.
Oh, no, yeah. This can be,
The internet is not working right here in the building.
No, that's why I like using the desktop right here instead of my laptop. But with Todd Gurley being out for the Rams against the 49ers, do you think this is going to be a big loss for the Rams this week?
I mean, it's going to be a big loss in the sense of not having Todd Gurley as your running back. I don't think it necessarily means a loss for the Rams. They have a lot of good receivers. They have a really good defense. You know, that Rams defense is really
December
good.
December 30th is National Bacon Day.
You know, Clay Matthews, Aaron Donald. So
we're all about bacon. Especially
it's important for LA to get an early lead. I mean, we know how resilient San Francisco is. You know, San Fran came back and they beat the Steelers with less than a minute and a half left. So
Todd Gurley right now has 270 yards on the season with 5 touchdowns. He's averaging about 4 yards a carry. But one thing with the Rams is they have the backup running back, and that's Malcolm Brown, who ran all over the Panthers in week one. And so Todd Gurley, he's been playing well this season. But I don't think him being out right now is very different than if he was out at this point last season. Because Todd Gurley last year was having an amazing season. Then, you know, he's now having some issues, his issues with his knee, with his legs. He's been battling that injury for a few seasons now. But you have Malcolm Brown to back it up. I don't think the Rams should be as worried.
L.A. also wasn't 3-2 at this point last year, though.
But that's what I'm saying. Todd Gurley was performing way better than what he was now.
He was performing
at a higher level that last season than he was this season. So him being out this season is different than if he were to be injured last season. And right now, 49ers 4-0, one of two undefeated teams, and of course the other undefeated team is the New England Patriots, who have Tom Brady. And Jimmy Garoppolo, Jimmy G, was the one who backed up Tom Brady and actually went undefeated in his starts with the Patriots. So it's kind of cool to see two former Patriots quarterbacks be the only undefeated teams in the NFL. And on another note in the NFL, I want to talk about this a little bit because we haven't talked about Antonio Brown on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte recently because he hasn't really been in the news ever since his whole falling out with the league and falling out with the Patriots. And all of these domestic abuse allegations coming up. But Antonio Brown says he wants to resolve issues with the teams and return to the NFL. Did you see this coming?
Yeah. He can't live without the league. He likes to think that the league can't live without him. But clearly it's doing just fine right now, isn't it?
It is. I think this has been a very entertaining football season. For the NFL, just both off the field and on the field.
It's like watching The Real Housewives.
It really
Orange
is.
County.
It's been a drama, man. It really has.
It's just what the NFL is now. I mean, it's not as bad as the NBA, I don't think. But when it comes to domestic issues, the NFL has to be the worst league.
Oh, by far.
To put up with
by
it.
Far. They, you know, it's front office of the NFL does a bad job at handling things, in my opinion. But I definitely saw Antonio Brown leaving the NFL and then wanting to come back because he's an athlete. He's a competitor.
He's a young man. What is he going to do with his time?
This is something that...
He can't get a job. What is he going
to
do?
He's going back to school right now, and so I think he wants to finish his college degree so that way he can have that backup plan. Because that's a lot of thing with athletes in college.
Him
you know?
And Cam are going to open up a fashion line, and that is what they are capable of doing. I don't see them capable of doing anything else.
Who, Antonio Brown and Cam Newton?
Oh, yeah.
Why not?
They'll both just do fashion. That's what they're going to do. That's what they're into, what they're enjoying.
I mean, yeah. It's not a bad thing. You made it sound like it's a bad thing.
Oh, no. I'm not saying it like it's a bad thing. Not at all. I'm saying, but that's what they're going to do.
I agree with that. But my question to you right now is, do you think Antonio Brown will be in the NFL either sometime this season or next season? Do you think a team will pick him up?
I mean, winning means more than morals nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to think that's – I mean, I would not like to think somebody's going to pick him up, but it's the matter of fact that somebody's going to.
I really think he will. And people say, oh, no, there's no way he's going to come back. No, it's exactly what you just said. Teams want to win. They care more about winning than what your perception of their team.
Somebody like Cincinnati right now, somebody like Miami right now, somebody like Washington right now. Not saying that he would go teams.
But there are teams that need him.
Definitely teams that are knocking on the door. Hey, you know, we would like to win a game this season.
And it was just a crazy, crazy chain of events that just happened with Antonio Brown earlier this year. Just with the way he got out of Oakland and got out of New England. But New England was more not his decision.
What do you think TV ratings are going to look like from Miami versus Washington?
I think it's going to be awful. I was just looking at that right now.
Somebody's going to win.
They definitely have the cheapest tickets in the league right now for games. Currently at $18 a ticket, and the next lowest is $22 a ticket.
And that lets you sit on the field, too.
For Atlanta and the Cardinals. Yeah, $18 to sit on the field. I'll go anywhere with that one. I think it's weird that they're having a Super Bowl in the place to where it has the worst NFL team this year, so at least they'll have some kind of winning in Miami.
Hey, if you donate $20, they'll let you play call. That's what it's like. It's like somebody's playing Madden right now with no football knowledge in Miami.
That's it. Miami is just a part of that simulation.
I'm not trying to torch Miami or anything, but that's just the way it's going right now.
There are a couple games I'm keeping an eye on. Of course, the NFC South games, you have New Orleans and Jacksonville. Jacksonville just lost to the Panthers. New Orleans are currently in first in the NFC South. If Jacksonville wins and the Panthers win today, the Panthers and Saints will be tied for first in the NFC South. And then Atlanta at Arizona. Atlanta's currently 1-3. I think Arizona is going to lose. I think Atlanta will get another win get their second win on the season. Non-conference games or non-division games that I'm looking at are Seattle and Cleveland. So what are your thoughts on Cleveland? They just got embarrassed on Monday Night Football against the 49ers. I remember the first time we met QCB at lunch when we discussed, you know, what we were going to do here at the station. I disagreed with him saying that. I think he said the Browns aren't going to go more than above 7-7. There's no way it's going to happen. And I was like, no, you're stupid. The Browns are much better this year than what you think they are. And currently, I am on the losing side of that argument.
A lot of people said that, but they hadn't proved anything to anybody, right? They haven't proved anything to anybody either.
They haven't had that good of a game.
The talent's there, right? They have some pretty good players, but it's not piecing together. It's just not working right now in Cleveland. And it's quarterbacked by an overrated Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I agree with that. Also, but like Odell Beckham hasn't been doing much either. That was a big pickup that hasn't really paid off so far this season. But you know, I mean, on a contract that's multiple years. But Baker Mayfield, he has not been playing well this year. And we talked about Christian McCaffrey for MVP earlier on about 20 minutes ago. If there was another front runner for MVP, I would think it would be the Seattle Seahawks quarterback, and that is Russell Wilson. I think Russell Wilson is playing great. I've always enjoyed watching Russell Wilson play. He is
a ton of fun to watch.
He is remarkable. He really is. He makes throws on the run that I've never seen. I have never seen it. His escapability is insane. His arm is insane. His leadership is amazing. I really enjoy watching Russell Wilson play, and he will face off in Carolina in December, and me and some friends are going to that game, so I'm very excited about it. And then right below it on the docket on CBS today, we have Houston versus Kansas City, and I think this is a matchup that a lot of people are looking forward to because it is Deshaun Watson versus Patrick Mahomes. How do you think this matchup will play out for these two young quarterbacks who are kind of taking the league by storm?
Deshaun Watson is severely, and I mean severely, underrated.
Yes, it's because he gets sacked nonstop behind that Texas O-line, but that man will throw up 350 yards, four touchdowns, no problem.
His numbers for what that offensive line has, it's really good. The kid is severely underrated, you know. But it's hard to look at him when a player like Patrick Mahomes comes into the league and takes everybody by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But they're both very good quarterbacks. That being said, It's going to be a really good game to watch. I think
it's going to be a very offensive game.
I think Kansas City edges this one out. Kansas City's the home team, right?
Yeah.
I think Kansas City edges this one out. A big reason is because they're home.
Yeah, it's hard to play in Arrowhead Stadium.
And they're certainly going to be looking for retaliation after last week.
Kansas City losing to Indianapolis was crazy. Jacoby Brissett has been playing his butt off, and Philadelphia Vikings, they play at 1. The Eagles versus the Vikings.
Philadelphia Vikings.
Yeah, that was my mistake. I think the Eagles have this one in the bag. I'm one of the things, and I've said this multiple times on air, one of the things that annoys me most about the NFL is just watching Kirk Cousins play. It really is.
The Steelers have their third quarterback of the season starting tonight. What do you think of that? Devlin Hodges.
I think that they wish they still had Joshua Dobbs. But they traded him away to Jacksonville. I mean, Dobbs is a good quarterback in Tennessee.
But now they have their third quarterback of the season starting this week.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, they play tonight at 8:20 on NBC against the Los Angeles Chargers. I think Phillip Rivers and the Chargers are going to run right over your Pittsburgh Steelers. I apologize about that. But
the Steelers have not allowed a player to have more than 100 receiving yards this season.
Yeah, ever since they got the addition of Minkah Fitzpatrick, I mean, the secondary has been great, but you got to put up points to win. And with the quarterback troubles and with Juju Smith-Schuster not really playing as a number one wide receiver, they are definitely struggling. James Conner is kind of having an underwhelming season based on last season.
Chargers have lost four of their last five home primetime games since 2014. Thanks for that stat, NFL.com.
That is a crazy stat. Those stats I really take to heart because, you know, I mean, I think atmosphere plays into who wins the game a lot. And if you lose four of your five last home primetime games, that's insane. But, I mean, as a Panther fan, I'm kind of used to that. Panthers are not very good on primetime. And one more game that we are going to keep an eye on is going to be Detroit-Green Bay. That is a Monday night matchup. I think that's going to be a great game.
A little primetime football. Green Bay's going to come out with a big dub.
I think Green Bay will come out with a dub. Detroit currently at 2-1-1. Matthew Stafford, I think, usually plays Green Bay pretty well. They're both NFC North competitors. Matthew Stafford, I like him as a quarterback. I always have, and I always will.
He might be a little bit underrated, too, don't you think?
He just has those seasons to where he puts up numbers, but then he has those few games to where the losses fall solely on him, you know, throwing interceptions. But I think, overall, I would be happy if Matthew Stafford was the quarterback of my team. And Aaron Rodgers, I think he's definitely better than Matthew Stafford, but they both have high football IQ. They both have insane arm strength, and they both can just place footballs in windows that very rarely any other quarterback can do so. But it's a huge NFC North matchup on primetime football. You say Green Bay wins that one. I agree with you, but I think it will be a high-scoring game, and I think it will be a one-possession game when the final score and the clock strikes zero. Real quick, before we end the show, let's talk about our rookie mistakes. What do you got?
You know what? I don't really have one prepared for today. What do you have for rookie mistakes?
I have the Georgia kicker missing the field goal and losing to the unranked University of South Carolina Gamecocks. They missed the field goal to tie it up, and the Gamecocks defeated Georgia last night. So, rookie mistake.
Yeah, that in itself was just a giant rookie mistake.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like I said, I know I probably couldn't make that field goal, but
I got a good one ready.
All right, let me hear it.
Bernie missing out on us this weekend. A rookie mistake. Bern, what are you doing, kiddo?
He wanted to go spend time with his family.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Which we can't really blame him for that. Thank you for tuning into the Rookies right here on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. For Connor Sherman, I'm Mackie G saying goodbye, and you can always tune in on 94.7 FM, 1660 AM, online at foxsportsradiocharlotte.com, and our mobile app, Fox Sports Radio Charlotte, and also follow us on Twitter and Instagram, at Fox Sports CLT.